if you have your testament with you or Bible, I want to speak upon the subject that I have entitled The Devils in a Pigskin Swimsuit. And it's not very hard to find where we get the subject title from. In this narrative set forth in the gospel record, we have vividly given to us something concerning sin, some things concerning Satan, some things concerning the Savior, and some things concerning the saved. If you look with me at this man, this demon-possessed individual, you will find that in a few short, terse words, a perfect description of the degradation of sin. And that's, of course, where we start. And until people realize their sinnership, there is no salvation for them. Christ Jesus came into the world to save everybody. No. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So until you realize your sinnership, you're outside the pale of God's salvation. You know, the first thing about this man is the first characteristic of sins. He dwelt among the tombs. Have a look at it. The first thing that you read about him is this, that there met him out of the tombs. Sin, first of all, is deadness. And death in the scripture is never, never annihilation. It is always separation. The man who dies physically experiences a separation. The spiritual part of him leaves the physical and material part. That's physical death. But neither the body nor the spirit is annihilated. Separation. The man that's stained and soiled and cursed and corrupted by spiritual death is in a state of separation from God. He draws near to God with his lips, but as the prophet says, his heart is far from the deity that he worships. The man that's dead eternally is separated from God eternally, and eventually both in body and in soul. So here we have the sinner. Sin is deadness. Sin is death. My friend, let me tell you tonight that all your religion cannot bridge the gulf of separation dug by sin that separates you from your God. You can be religious and yet be separated from God. You can be baptized and be separated from God. You can be a church member and be separated from God. Friend, you're in the tomb of sin, unconverted, unregenerate, soul tonight. Sin is deadness. That's not at all. Have a look at the same verse, my, it's all summed up here. He came out of the tombs, there's deadness. He had an unclean spirit, there's uncleanness. For sin is uncleanness. And a man in sin, no matter how outwardly respectable he may be, as far as God's concerned, he's a leper. And he must cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. Let me tell you, friend, that sin that you take as a sweet morsel under your tongue is uncleanness. It may captivate you now. It may fill your body with pleasure now. It may be looked upon as a thing to be grasped at and embraced now. But its heart is a heart of corruption. And a man without Christ is stamped with uncleanness. Sin is not only deadness, but sin is uncleanness. The dead soul needs life. Hallelujah. Jesus is life. The unclean soul needs cleansing. Praise God, there's power in the blood to cleanse the unclean soul. Sin is uncleanness. Come on, look at it again. And you'll find the third thing about him, that no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Sin is lawlessness. The Bible gives that as a definition for sin. Lawlessness. You see, the chains couldn't hold this man. Restrictions couldn't keep him from his evil ways and evil habits and evil thinking and evil living. For sin is lawlessness. My friend, that sin that rules your heart, that sin that forges chains around your soul, that sin that's digging the depths of a grave for you and digging wrath against wrath and judgment, friend, it's lawlessness. The man without Christ is not only characterized by deadness, he's not only characterized by uncleanness, but my, he's characterized by lawlessness. It's a terrible thing. You see, you go on in your sin, don't you? I've had people spoke to me at these meetings, and they said to me, Mr. Paisley, I can't quit my sin. No, you can't. Because the seed of lawlessness is sown within your heart. And all the chains that man ever made could never bind you. The chains of immorality will not keep you from your immoral road. The chains of temperance will not keep you from your drunkenness. The chains of religion will not keep you from your sin. No man can tame the sinner. It's only the mighty grace of God that can tame man. And all your good resolutions and all your desires to turn over a new leaf, friend, they're going to end in absolute failure. No man can tame the sinner but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Sin is lawlessness. You look at it again, and if you have your testament and compare it with the narrative over in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, you will find that this man is described there in this way. He came out of the tombs. He had devils a long time, and he wore no clothes, for sin is nakedness. Let me tell you, friends, sin will strip you. It'll strip you of your decency. It'll strip you of your respectability. It'll strip you of your morality. It will strip you of your honesty. It will strip you of your purity. It'll rob you of your health. It'll rob you of your wealth. It'll rob you of your home. It'll rob you of your wife. It'll rob you of your family. It'll rob you of your job. It'll rob you of your position. And if it gets going without the grace of God, it'll strip you a poor, naked soul in hell fire forever. Such is the nature of sin. Nakedness. And you'll stand before God with no wedding garment. Sin is nakedness. My, how sin strips man. How sin robs man. Many years ago, we were having a half night of prayer in our old church. There came a knocking at the window about 3 o'clock on Saturday morning. I went out to the side door of the church, and there was a prominent man standing there. I wouldn't mention his name for the world. Very well known man to this day, and very well placed in this city. And he said to me, "Ian, could I speak to you?" I said, "Certainly, come in." He went down the aisle, and it was before we had seats in the church. We had just old forms, and he sat down in one of the old forms, and his frame shook, and he wept and wept and wept again. And I said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" He said, "I'm in trouble." I said, "I know your trouble." I said, "Drink is getting the better of you." He says, "That's right." He says, "I can't stop it. I go out at night and I say I'll have a couple of drinks." But he says, "It's 3 o'clock. And he says, "I drank in the pub. And from the pub I went to the club. And I drank my wallet dry. I have nothing left." And he said, "I'm going home. And I'm stupid. And I'm boozed up. And I'm miserable. And if I go on, I'll lose my job, I'll lose my position, I'll lose everything." And they said, "Oh, that I could quit." Then through his tears, he said to me, "Mr. Paisley, my mother was a Christian. She believed in the gospel that you believe in. She believed in the old-fashioned preaching that you do." I said, "Man, I want to tell you something. You can get rid of the booze tonight on one condition, that you'll receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord." He says, "I'm not going to do that." He says, "I want to get rid of it, but I'm not going to be a Christian." I said, "All right, I might as well open the door now and heave you out. For," I said, "you're going to go to hell anyway." "Oh," he said, "you wouldn't do that." Says I, "Maybe if I did that, it might awaken you and stun you a bit. But," I says, "you're going anywhere." And he sat for over an hour and he wept. And the last words he said to me, he says, "Ian, I'll give it up, but I'm not taking Christ." I didn't see that man for quite a time. But one day I was traveling down to London from Liverpool by train, and I was going up the corridor of the train, and I had to pass through the bar. It was in the train, and I saw that man standing at the bar counter. And he was introducing a young fella to booze. And I went over and I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "Do you remember the last time you saw me?" He says, "Yes, but I don't want to think about it," says, "I know." I said, "Now you're introducing another man to the same temptations that's captured you." And I said, "Remember, there's no freedom for you but by receiving Christ." Of course, he didn't receive Christ, and he's gone on. Down! You know what sin has done for him? It has stripped him. Stripped him of the position he ought to have had today. But he couldn't be trusted because he was a boozer. Stripped him of the long ladder rungs that were carrying him up to the very top of his profession, but he never made it. You know why? Because he couldn't be trusted because he was a boozer. Why, I'm telling you, sin will strip you, friend. Nakedness! That's the characteristic of sin. Yes, but have another look at it. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. Restlessness is a characteristic of sin. You never found a sinner with peace of mind. You never found a sinner with rest of soul. You never found a sinner who could sit down and say, it is well with my soul. No, sir, sin is restlessness. The wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. The only rest a man can know is in the God that made him. Two restless sinners will be restless in time, restless in death, and restless in hell forevermore. Sin is restlessness day and night. In the mountains and in the tombs, crying. Oh, the tears and cries of a soul caught in the snares and in the traps of sin and in the conspiracy of hell to damn them forever. You know, the last thing about him was his madness, cutting himself with stones. Sin makes men mad. And if you're rejecting Jesus Christ, you've got the insanity of hell and the lunacy of the devil about you. Let me tell you it straight. It's a madman who rejects Jesus. It's a madman that says no to heaven. And no to home, and no to God, and no to peace, and no to pardon. Sin makes men mad. How mad they are. They leave their home for their sin. They let their families break up because of sin. They go down and down and down. Mad. Because of sin, cutting themselves with the sharp stones cut out by their own hands from the rocks of their own transgressions and the quarries of their own temptations. Sin. There's the degradation of sin. There's the man. Can anyone do any? The church can do nothing for a man like that. The pastor can do nothing for a man like that. Or the priest, or the prelate. Or the preacher. But praise God, Jesus can do something for a man like that. You know, the second thing we have here in this verse is the destruction of Satan. When Jesus meets the sinner, the devil's got to go. Hallelujah. My, that's a great thing. When the Lord meets the sinner. Do you know, did you ever look at these verses? You'll find there are four prayers in this very short passage of Scripture. Do you know, that man prayed two prayers, but God didn't answer either of them. That's most interesting. But the devils prayed a prayer and God answered their prayer. Or Jesus answered their prayer. And the Gadarenes prayed a sinful prayer and Jesus answered their prayer. It's very interesting. In love, Jesus said no to the man called Legion twice. In judgment, he said yes to the devils and the Gadarenes. Now just look at it. Look at the first prayer. He besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Because that man was then devil possessed. He didn't know what he was saying. Christ didn't answer that prayer. And then at the end of the story, he prayed and he said to the Lord, he prayed him that he might be with him. He said, Lord, I want to go with you. I want to go all the way with you. And the Lord didn't answer that prayer either. He said, no, you're not going home with me. You're going to your own home. You have a job to do now that I've saved you. You've got to get on with it. But the devils asked to go into the swine. And Jesus answered the request. The Gadarenes said, Jesus, go away. We don't want you to upset our trade. And Jesus went away. Two prayers answered in judgment. Two prayers not answered because of the Savior's love. We have the destruction of sin cast out. It's a great thing when the devil is cast out. Yeah. Wonderful thing. I want to tell you tonight, sinner, Jesus can do a job for you. You say, preacher, you don't know my background. No, I do not, nor do I want to know it. But let me tell you, Jesus knows it. He has watched you all the way until tonight. Do you know what Jesus has been doing? He's been preserving you even though your feet were making fast to hell. He was guarding you, keeping you, preserving you. Many years ago, we had an elder in this church, J.L. Harbinson. He was clerk of session for some time. And when J.L. Harbinson got after a man about a soul, he never let him go. And there was a man who lived in this district. He's now a member of this church. He's wonderfully saved. And a very dear friend of mine. But in those days, he was a boozer and a sinner. And he was on the brink of disaster. And every Sunday we used to have a prayer meeting and J.L. Harbins would say, I'm going to bring him. And he would go up and the man would be in bed. And he would wait until he got out of bed and got shaved and got clothed. And then he brought him down to the church. And we prayed for that man, but he never came to the Lord in the church. But I had a mission in Cross Gar. There was a terrible row at that mission. It was in that mission the Free Presbyterian Church was born. And one night I was preaching in Cross Gar and that man was in the meeting. And when I made the appeal, he was the first down the aisle. He said, I'll get saved. And he got saved. He got really saved. And you know what he said to me? I'll never forget it. He said, you know, Mr. Paisley, I'm scared when I look at my past and see the narrow shaves I had in my sin. He said one night, he said, a friend of ours got a brand new motor car. And he said, we all went to a pub and we got absolutely full. And he said, I said to my friend, I'll drive you home in your motor car. And he said, we got into the car and we came down my lady's road. He said, I don't know how I got the car turned at the end. And we went over, he says, the boulevard. And he said, we came to the bridge across at Ormer Road. And he said, the lights were against us. And he says there was a tram coming down that road at a breakneck speed. And he said, I just went right over the road. And he said, that tram missed us by inches. He said, if it had hit the car, I would have been an eternity and in hell. But he says, God preserved me. You know, God has preserved you to this night. In your folly and in your sin. Well, you can say, I never was like that. I'm a respectable person. You don't know me. I'm a church member. I sing in the choir. I teach in the Sunday school. I read good books. I don't sin like other people. No, but you're a self-righteous Pharisee. You need to be saved just like the poor old sinner that strikes himself on the breast and says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And God has preserved you in the folly of your Phariseeism to this very evening. Thank God the devil can be destroyed in your life. I'll tell you something else. There's the deliverance of the sinner here. You know, there's three things about him. I love this. Look at it with me, would you? They came out to see him, and he was sitting. When Jesus comes, the restlessness goes. That wonder? He was sitting. Resting at last. Before Jesus came, he was roaming the mountains. He was in the tombs. And his poor body was torn with a spirit of restlessness. But when Jesus came, praise God, he sat down at the feet of Jesus in perfect peace. Peace! Perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. My, I'm telling you, when the Lord comes, you sit down at his feet. The restlessness can go tonight. Jesus can give you peace. Tell you something more. The nakedness went too, and the uncleanness. He was clothed. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, he gives you peace. When Jesus comes, he gives you clothing. Hallelujah. He was in the right place. He was at Jesus' feet. He was in the right apparel. He was clothed by the Lord. And praise God, he was in his right mind. And when the Lord comes, he brings purity and sanity and joy and rejoicing. You tonight can get the blessing of peace. You can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And blessed be his name tonight. You can be in your right mind. The madness of sin can be met by the sanity of the Spirit of God abiding in your heart. For the work of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. You know, when he was delivered, the Lord made certain demands of him. He wanted to stay with the Lord, didn't he? Naturally, he says, Lord, I want to go about with you. I want to just sit at your feet and go about with Peter, James, and John, and you. And the Lord said, no, you're not going to do that. He said, what about your wife and your family and your friends? Go home, he said. Go home. That's the first thing, my friend, that Jesus says to a man that's saved, go home. That's where you start the Christian life, right at home. You go to your own home. And you know what you do? You tell them the great things that the Lord had done for you and had compassion on you. Do you know what you're doing? You're giving God the glory. That's what you do. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Old Christmas Evans the old Welsh Baptist preacher, the silver-tongued orator of the Welsh valleys, describes this man going home. He said he comes to the old village that he had left, and the people, knowing him to be demon-possessed, they close the doors, and a great shriek of terror fills the village. The devil-possessed man has left the tombs of the mountains, and he's here. The old preacher said, his wife gathers the children in, and barricades the door, and calls on her neighbors to help protect the children and herself from this murderous brute that they had to drive away to the tombs of the mountains. But he comes down the street, and there's no fire of madness in his eye now. He walks as ordinary men, but there's a light of heaven's peace in his countenance. And he comes to the old door, and he stands outside, and he calls his wife by name. And she knew when she heard his voice that her husband was a new man. I led a man to the Lord once. He was an old down and out sinner, an alcoholic. He'd committed every sin in the calendar. He said to me, he said, every sin in the book, I've committed it, he says, but murder, that's the only one I haven't committed. Do you know, when he used to go home in his boozing fits, his wife used to gather the children up and put them all in one room, and she would lock the door and barricade the door. And many a night she had to pile a furniture against it as he stood outside and kicked it and hammered it. But one night down in the wee church down the road, he got saved, and his homecoming was just like the homecoming of this man. And when he came into the house, he called to his wife, and he said, you needn't barricade yourself in, dear. Jesus has saved me. I'm a new man. I was overhearing Mr. Paisley preach, and I got saved tonight. And that dear woman came down the stairs, and she put her arms around him. She says, I always loved you. But she says, sometimes I was hard pushed with your sinning. You know, I've sat at that man's table with his wife and family. And where there used to be hatred, now there's love. Where there used to be discord, now there's harmony. When there used to be bitterness, now there's the sweetness of heaven's peace. Oh, I want to tell you, friend, salvation works. It can work in your life. So he came home, and he was a new man. He became a preacher. That's the delights of the saved. Obedience to the Lord. He went round the city and published it. The great things Jesus had done for him. It wasn't the church that did anything for him. No, sir. It wasn't the sacraments did anything for him. Wasn't the old Pope did anything for him either. It was the Lord did it. It's only the Lord can help you, friend. There's no salvation in the church, or in ordinances, or in creeds. But thank God there's salvation in Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Will you be saved tonight? Jesus can meet you. I don't know what your need is. I don't know your background. But I know Jesus can lift every burden, meet every need, and set you free. Meet Jesus. Meet him now. Meet him tonight. For his name's sake, let's bow our heads. Our God and Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy Word. It's the good and the gracious Word of God. And O God, our hearts are wonderfully revived and blessed as we think of what Jesus can do.